Rest in peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I think I'm coming through, right? Starting to. All right. Get a mic working. A story in our gospel reading today of this rich young man coming to Jesus is probably one of the most interesting stories, I believe, in the New Testament. Primarily because it is most troubling and also most telling. It completely transforms the picture that many folks have of what Jesus was like. It reveals to us a truth about God's kingdom and a truth about Jesus that many people in the world and even many in the church completely fail to recognize. The rich young man came to Jesus with a sincere request. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Now we know that it was a sincere request and not just one of the Pharisees coming in to try to trip him up, because he addressed Jesus as good teacher. And because we're told that Jesus looked at him and loved him. He did not see Jesus as an adversary to battle, but as a teacher to follow. And Jesus looked at him with the eyes of love, not law. This was a lost sheep of Israel who sincerely wanted to find his way home, home to the presence of God. But not at any cost, as we will see in a few moments. Jesus said to this lost soul, "You know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, don't steal, etc., so forth." And the man responded to Jesus by saying, "Well, he'd kept all those things since he was a boy." Now, obviously, in his heart, he had not kept these commandments perfectly. And thus he too was guilty of sin and deserving of death. But you see, he didn't realize this, because he was only thinking of the commandments in their narrowest outward interpretation. And since he hadn't killed anyone and he hadn't slept with anyone's wife, in his mind, he had kept the commandments perfectly and intentionally. Because, you see, this young man did care about God. And he cared about keeping God's law. And Jesus loved this man for his sincerity and his devotion. But he told him that he still lacked one thing to receive, to inherit eternal life. He said to him, "Go, sell everything that you have and give it to the poor. And then you will have treasure in heaven. And then come, follow me." And at that, the man became very sad. Scripture says that he went away grieving because he had many possessions. But let's be clear, he wasn't sad because he had so many possessions it was going to take a long time to organize an estate sale to get rid of everything. He went away sad because he had many possessions that he just couldn't let go of. Possessions that he found his security and his identity in. Possessions that meant more to him than eternal life with God meant to him. Now, to be sure, he wanted to gain life with God in heaven forever. But not if it meant losing the comfort and wealth and security of his life here on earth. Now, our text today for this Sunday ends with this man going away sad. But this story in the scriptures don't end with this man going away sad. They don't end here. In Mark, this story continues with Jesus commenting on how difficult it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And he says that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to get into heaven. But then he also goes on to say that all things are possible with God. And yet Jesus let this rich young man walk away sad, sorrowful, and unsaved. This man who had kept and honored God's law since he was young. This man who was lost and sincerely wanted Jesus' guidance. This man whom Jesus loved. So many people want to paint a picture of Jesus that is all about him being meek and mild and peaceful and passive and willing to be stepped on by other people and who would readily give in to others just to keep the peace. A man who just wanted everybody to get along, to accept each other. That is not the Jesus of the Holy Bible. That might be the Jesus of Hollywood or something, but that's not the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the Bible was soft and hard. He was kind and harsh. He was passive and very assertive. He was forgiving and also condemning. He was welcoming and rejecting. In this story today, while Jesus was loving, he was not forgiving. He did not say to this young man who could not put God before his money and who could not honor and keep the first and most important commandment, which is to have no other gods before the only God. He didn't tell him that he should cheer up. Be glad. Your sins have been forgiven. Jesus let the man go away grieving. Why? Because you cannot serve both God and money. Because you can't have other gods before the only true triune God. Because whoever loves his father or mother, sister or brother, or anything more than God is not worthy of God. Because you have to take up your cross in order to follow him. And because the man who finds his life in this world will lose it in eternity. But the one who loses it in this world for the sake of the gospel will find it in eternity. Jesus loved this man, and he wanted to save this man. But that could not happen as long as this rich young man still worshiped another god. In his case, his possessions. Now, some would argue that this rich young man's question was flawed from the very beginning. And it was. He looked for something that he might do to earn or to merit eternal life. What he didn't realize was that no amount of doing, of good works, of keeping the law, anything, is sufficient to merit eternal life. We are flawed from the get-go because of our sin. And thus, eternal life must be received as an unmerited and undeserved gift, rather than as a merited or earned reward. And it comes to all those who come to Jesus in the brokenness of their sin, who come confessing their unworthiness, who surrender themselves over to His mercy and His grace. Through faith, we have each received God's forgiveness and His promise of everlasting life because Jesus achieved for us all of this through the cross and through His rising from the grave. We must remember that we're always saved because of His sacrifice, not our service. Because of His obedience, not ours. But we also need to always remember, lest we become caught up in the ways of the world, that Jesus let this rich young man go away sad, because he would not do the one thing necessary to receive eternal life. He would not surrender his life over to God. He still wanted to hang on to his idols. And God let him. God would not force himself upon this man any more than he will force himself upon us or upon anyone. If we choose a path that reduces him from Lord of our life to merely an aspect of our life, he will let us go away sad too. But if we continue to submit to his lordship, if we in repentance confess our sin and our unworthiness and trust in his mercy, if we daily leave the securities of this world for the security of his forgiveness, we will inherit eternal life. That's his promise. May we thus live each day with this promise and this assurance for the sake of Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. Amen.